Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
All right, this is the MGB review of Galley Lucha Libre. We're actually on a snow day. We're recording this probably 10 days ahead of time because we need that extra episode for over the holidays. We didn't have anything specific that we needed to watch right now, so I just looked on PowerSlam TV to see what was the thing. First thing I saw was something called Galley's Navidad. I was like, ah, perfect. All right, that's perfect for Christmas. We'll go with that one. I hadn't heard of them. I don't think you had either, Mason. Jackson, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't have heard of them either then. So this is actually from December 6th, 2020. Where do you think the location is for this one? When you look on Cage Match, it tells you exactly where it's from.
I don't know.
Any ideas?
Nope.
What country do you think it might be from?
Spain?
Mexico?
It's in America. It's a Villa Park, Illinois. So I was kind of surprised by that. One of the things straight away.
Why do they speak Spanish then?
Well, the wrestlers there are certainly Spanish. Now, I know Chicago has a big Italian population as well, because there's a statue for like Joe DiMaggio there. I remember seeing that. I didn't realize that there was a sort of a Hispanic population there as well. Because I think of Lucha Libre, I think of Mexico. I would have gone with Mexico. I understand why you said Spain, Jay, because speaking Spanish. Villa Park's an interesting name for a location, because that's a soccer ground in England as well. It's at the Arena Galley as well. I'll try and do a little bit of accents. Now, I think one reason we assumed this was, though, because the commentary was in Spanish, right?
Yeah.
So we couldn't understand anything, so we switched it straight off, and as it was a Christmas song, we actually just listened to Christmas music while we were watching it, which was kind of different, because normally, I'm making notes, I'm listening to the match, though, and I'm using that as my cue to, oh, I need to look up if something important's happening, or you can hear the commentators. I was totally blind on this one, so I had to take notes, but then I had to keep looking up to see what was going on, and I'm sure I missed something, so it's probably...
Yeah, you missed, like, a whole match.
I missed the first match, so I'm relying on you two. Well, I was trying to get all the details down, like where it's from, and the other thing was, there was actually a match that wasn't even featured. There was actually a dark match, I guess. Leslie La Monica defeated Lady Tigress in the opening one, which we would have known nothing about. Now, on Power Slam, they didn't actually have the full details, but Mason, who do you think match one is then?
Axel Rico and Rico de la Vega versus Lee Medley.
That's it?
Yeah.
You're not going to mention the fact that it says and then there's a blank?
Yeah, it says and then it doesn't say anything.
Doesn't say anything, so we don't know who his tag team partner is. But if you look on Cage Match, it says Alex Rico and Rico de la Vega defeat ? And Jake Taylor. So if the two of them have actually communicated with each other, you could have figured out that it was Lee Metalik and Jake Taylor. So I don't know why one didn't know that one. I looked up Ricky de la Vega, first of all. Pro wrestler, commentator, manager, Monster Factory trained, owner of a seasonal residence in parts unknown, better than you in two languages. That's a little bit like MJF.
Yeah.
I like that, though. And Reconstruction, because he's from Puerto Rico. Let's see what titles he's actually won. The FTW Frozen Few Tag Team Championship, the WPW Tag Team Champion, and also the WPW Title Town Championship. And that was the only name on Cage Match. If it's somebody they have in the actual website, their name's highlighted, you can click on it and it opens things up. He was actually the only one you could click on for this one. And by the time I'd looked him up and I looked at the match, it had already finished. So, Jackson, what do you have for this match first? What do you have besides Cool Beans and who knows what else?
No, that's for the third match.
Oh, that was the third match, okay.
3.5 stars.
3.5. We figured that might be a good way for you, because you don't have to write everything, but you can at least give us your rating for this one. Alright, 3.5 stars. Alright, Mason, tell us about this one.
Rico does a huge flying uppercut, and Axel Rico and Rico de la Vega wins with a codebreaker and a frog splash.
Now, I was worried a little bit, because actually, as they came out for this one, they didn't put the captions on. So we had to try and figure, well, you had to try and figure out who was who, just based on the names that we saw. And as I started to look up, I was like, oh, well, you can figure it out, because Axel actually says Axel on his clothing. And then you were like,
it says Axel Rico.
Yeah, and then actually you were like, oh, the match is already finished. I was like, it has? So I'd missed the whole match with this one. So that made it, made it a little bit more challenging for you to, because normally you'd say Axel does this move or Rico does this move or whatever. But yeah, that made it slightly more challenging. Then went to, straight afterwards, they cut to the post-match interview, which of course was totally pointless for us. So we skipped that one. We were just carried on listening to our music. All right, match two then was the Discovery title match.
I also have one thing too.
Between Golden Star and Bandolero. So I think you just got the rating, right, JJ?
Yeah, 6 stars.
6 out of 5?
No, 6. I'm just putting random star numbers for the match.
So that won't help anyone?
I'm giving the rating.
Okay.
But I'm picking whatever stars I need.
So what if somebody was listening to this and they actually thought that this was, if they said 6-star match, they might go straight to this match then. So what star rating would you actually give it then?
6.
So it was better than a 5-star match? I think we've got a young Dave Meltzer here in the making. All right, Mason. Oh, actually, Bandolero. I looked up Bandolero.
We also have Lucky here, which is our elf. So we have a special guest, but he's not saying anything.
No, he's not saying anything. I don't think he's too happy about being moved either.
Yeah, and he's in a water bottle.
Yeah, technically you're not supposed to touch him, but you're not touching him because he's in a water bottle, like you said, and you just picked up the water bottle. But I don't know. I'd be interested to know what his report to Santa's going to be tonight. I'm not sure if he likes that or not. We'll have to see. Bandolero is the Lucha Chicago Championship. And he also won the NWA Mexico Welterweight Championship. So yeah, so Lucha Chicago. So there's this organization we just heard, Lucha Chicago. I didn't know that was such a big area for Lucha Star Wrestling, so I'm kind of interested in that one. But hey. All right, Mason, what you got for this?
So this one was pretty easy to tell who was who because Bandolero had the championship.
I missed that part because I was like, oh, you can figure it out because Bandolero is obviously the one with the bandana. And then you were like, well, he was the champion as well. I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Bandolero, he does a suicide dive and the cameraman films a guy who was live streaming.
Oh, yeah. I asked you to write that down because you were like, they're letting him live stream? I was like, well, EWA Maryland does as well. I think it depends on the different organizations. Like Nova Pro, they were like, no video at all. Because I think somebody used to live stream the whole event. And they were like, well, we don't want that, obviously. Because otherwise, why would you go? I think for other ones, depending on how well they sell, it's more a promotional tool. So I think it depends.
Yeah, if somebody can't come, then just live stream it.
They can, but to be honest, would you really want to watch like somebody's hand-filmed copy of an event? It wouldn't be particular. Like, of all the things that we've got, like that would be the last thing I'd want to watch. Like, I'd want to watch The Network, I'd want to watch Power Slam, I'd want to watch IWTV. Would I really want to watch somebody's version that's recorded on a phone? No. That's going to be terrible. So, I don't know. I think you got to be pretty desperate to want to see that if you don't. You can watch YouTube as well.
Yeah.
Like,
if you're live streaming too, then you're just looking through the phone.
Yeah, so you're not enjoying it either. So, I think that's partly one of the I think it's kind of... I'm hoping he wasn't streaming the whole event. I'm hoping it's like, hey buddy, look at this. This is like the match I'm watching right now. Like, here, let me show you like 30 seconds of it. That's what I'm hoping it is. Or just
look like it because there's old chat.
That I don't know, but yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't personally want to do that, but yeah, some organizations are very against it. Obviously, if it's something you're going to release later, or if it's a pay-per-view event, then yeah, you're not going to be too happy about it. But yeah, sometimes it can help build your audience as well, though. Somebody goes, whoa, that looks really cool. I want to go to the next event. So, I don't know. All right, anything else for this one?
Yeah. Bandolero won when he sat on Golden Star's shoulders and flip them behind him. And Rico interfere.
Yeah, there was some interference on this one. I was wondering if Jay was going to mention
is
that.
Is Ariane third match yet?
Not quite yet.
I call it Rico and Rico because it's Axel and Rico de la Vega.
I noticed that you changed one of the names, but I was like, that's fine. I actually really enjoyed this match. I thought these two were really good. I missed the start of the match, which is why I didn't realize he was the champion. But when I actually... because I didn't have many notes for this one because I didn't have to write much down. I just did a quick search for Bandolero. I was like, that's it, I'm going to leave it at that. And then I actually watched it. But yeah, no, these were really entertaining wrestlers. It was certainly athletic action. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this one. All right, match three was Mecha Wolf and Ricky Cruz.
I gave this 5 stars.
You gave this one 5. Now, normally... Oh, you gave the other one 6 stars then, so you preferred the other one slightly more,
I actually meant to put 5. I mean, 6.
Oh, you wanted to give this one 6 as well?
7.
You thought this was even better?
Yeah, so... I just left some room for my notes.
Okay. Mecha Wolf's got a lot of names. Mecha Wolf 450, Hammett, Mr. 450, Jesus De Leon, Jesus Perez, John Yearn, John Yearnette, Jesus Yearnette, and Mecha Wolf. Some of his championships, the CSW Heavyweight Championship, the CSW Metro Division Championship, Dreamwave Alternative Championship, FTW World Heavyweight, ICW Heavyweight, ICW Pure X, IWA Puerto Rico Junior Heavyweight, Lucha Chicago, NWA FUW Flash, NWS Cruiser, I'm going to take a break in the middle here, PCW Ultra Light, PW 2.0 Universal Cruiserweight, the Crash Tag Team Champion, Wrestling Superstar World Submission Lucha Champion, that sounds interesting, WWC Junior Heavyweight Champion, WWC Television Champion, WWC Universal Heavyweight Champion, WWL Las Americas Champion, and WWL World Heavyweight Championship. Whew, that's a lot of titles. Normally when I look up on those, there's only a few. Shall I do Ricky Cruz as well then?
Yeah.
Dynamo Pro D1 Champion, Dynamo Pro Heavyweight Champion, Dynamo Pro Tag Champion, IWA Puerto Rico Champion, IWA Puerto Rico Hardcore Champion, IWA Puerto Rico Heavyweight Champion, IW Puerto Rico Tag Team Champion. Now, I haven't been mentioning how many times, but he's actually Tag Team Champion 5 times there. IWRG Intercontinental Tag Team Champion, IWRG Rey del Ring Champion. Do you know what Rey is, Jay? You know, like Rey Mysterio? Do you know what Rey means in Spanish?
Yeah.
Mason?
No.
King.
Oh.
MWR Missouri Heavyweight Championship and SICW All-Star Classic Champion. So he has a lot of stuff. Like, when I was looking up these guys, I said, oh, there's quite a lot for this. Now, I want to read you something I found that tells you some basic details about the wrestlers. And Jackson, I don't think you're going to be able to comment anything particular, but I'm curious if Mason notices anything. Finishing and signature moves, the cruise control, sidekick, and cobra. Nothing for teams and stables, nothing for entrance music, and nicknames King of Chaos. All right, anything that stands out to you there at all? Because it was something that jumped out for me straight away.
King? No, actually, no.
I had to look up. I was like, Logan Black's King of Chaos, isn't he?
No, he's Apostles of Chaos. That's what I thought too, the King of Chaos.
I looked it up. His Twitter handle is King of Chaos NYC. So he might have had to add the NYC on because
the
there's
Apostles of Chaos.
It is, but specifically I reckon King of Chaos, because the tag team's called that. But him specifically, I recognized his Twitter handle from that. But yeah, he's King of Chaos NYC.
I didn't know that.
All right, go ahead then, Mason. Tell us about this one.
So Mecha pushes Ricky into the post, Mecha does a spear through the ropes, and Ricky again, and there is an elbow drop to Ricky's dingo.
Mason stole some of mine.
You didn't have anything. You said you only had the rating.
No, I also did.
So what did you have for this one, besides cool beans? Because you already told us that.
Water balloons, Mason. That's what was second in my notes. Woohoo!
Alright. Well, we told you in this one, you were trying to write down every single move, because you said, I don't know what this move's called. And we said, you don't have to write down every move.
The team that interfered in every single match just interfered in this one, too.
He missed that, though, yes. They came
and
interfered in
this
match.
Oh, you did? I said Rico and Rico
interfered. Okay. Yes, they came and interfered
elbow
again. And I kind of knew this, because as I was looking ahead, I was like, oh, they're all featuring match 6 as well. So that was obviously
why. I also have one more note.
Okay.
One on the whiffle meter.
he took a shot and he missed in the forgot.
That's what I'm with him.
Now, the interesting thing I found at the end was, this is from Sports Keeda in 2016. Ali and Mecha Wolf have history, having wrestled one another on a throwaway episode of 205 Live from December 2016. That match saw Mecha Wolf blow out his knee. It later became apparent that he was already injured before the match, and WWE were reluctant to pay his medical bills because he'd already been injured, because they thought he was already injured before the match. Oh, that's interesting. Mustafa Ali actually had a go at him as well, with him called Mecha Wolf 450. Why 450, Mason?
Because he's, I don't know, something with Mustafa Ali.
He actually uses
it,
I think.
That move.
There you go. Thank you, JJ. JJ with the right answer, because he actually does the 450. And Mustafa Ali does the 450, but he does it backwards, though, so correct. Okay, the 054. Is it 054 or 045?
Yeah, 054.
Okay. So anyway, yes, there was a bit of a criticism on that one. Mustafa Ali didn't tag him, though. And Yannette was not happy with him. He called Ali a coward for not tagging him directly. Ali then went back and started doing other comments. What did he say? He criticized his 450, or rather his 425 splash. Ooh, that's a little cheap. So in other words, he didn't get a proper rotation in on it. It was a little short on it because he's not as talented. That's kind of a... I like that little jibe. He also made some other claims, saying he was faking injuries, backstabbing women, and choking women as well. I don't know if that means intergender matches, or I'm not quite sure on that. So yeah, there's a little bit of history between those two guys as well. So there was something a little interesting in this one. All right, now we actually broke the record up into two to try and help you, Jay, a little bit. So we're going to watch the next three matches, because this is six matches for this one. Anything else we want to add in the first part of the record, though?
No.
All right, Mason?
No.
All right, this was actually a good idea. We did split this into two because it gave me a chance to go back and look at one of the things I talked about in part one. So when I talked about, I didn't know that Chicago had a big Hispanic population. I went back to look it up. In 2016, the population of Hispanics exceeded that of blacks to become Chicago's largest minority group, with non-Hispanic whites representing 32.6% of the population. Hispanics at 29.7 and blacks at 29.3. So I didn't realize that. And when I first looked at it, it looked like it was the third largest city in America for Hispanic population. I was like, I can't be true. So I looked at something else. Anyway, I found the top 11 cities for Hispanic population. So I thought we could play a round of Family Feud. So if you don't know what that is, JJ, you know, someone where you make a guess and you got to try and find all the answers on the board. To make it a handicap match, though, because you're younger, Mason, you get three lives. Jackson, you get two lives. Every time you give a... Hold on, that's the wrong way around. Sorry, you get two lives. He gets three lives. And if you lose all your lives, then that's the end of the show. Okay? And you keep having, you have to keep
Mason
making a guess.
I think Mason should get
one. No, that wouldn't be very fair for Mason at all. So, Jackson, you get to name a city first that you think has the most Hispanic population. So, obviously, we're looking at big cities here. So name your big city.
Chicago.
Besides Chicago. But actually, all right, Chicago. Fair enough. That was pretty smart. All right, Chicago. Correct.
Because that's the only one I know.
You've still got all three. You know more cities than Chicago.
New York City.
New York City. Correct, Mason. All right, Jackson, your turn. Give me a big city. Think of baseball teams if necessary.
California.
That's a state. Think of a city.
Los Angeles.
Correct. Los Angeles
no,
is...
No,
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles,
is,
California.
Los Angeles is... Oh, New York was one. Los Angeles is two.
I got my second
Dallas.
Guess.
Dallas, correct.
I got one
all right,
in my
go ahead,
head.
JJ.
Toronto?
It's in America. That's in Canada.
Okay.
But that would have been a good guess if it was if we'd have said North America, though. Give me another city in the USA. Below.
Jacksonville?
Jacksonville is not on the list, so you're down to two lives left.
I was thinking
left.
Around there. I was thinking Atlanta.
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
You're down to one life left. All right, Jackson.
Dang it.
I don't know anymore.
He can get it you wrong. He just
think
needs
of
me
a
to
base,
get one
Think
wrong.
Of a baseball team. Think of a city that has a baseball team. If it has a baseball team, it's probably a big city.
Oh, definitely not Virginia.
Well, that's a state.
I know.
Cities. Big cities. There's one that's pretty obvious that I thought Mason would have got. Actually, it was a lot lower down the list than I thought it would be as well. The one that I was thinking was the... No. All right. we had about 30 seconds left. I think it just kicked back in again. All right. Come on, Jackson. Give me a guess. Give me some cities. Think of a baseball team. Or think of a different... think of a different sport. One of these actually has a hockey team and one of them has a basketball team. So it doesn't have to be baseball. But most of these are baseball cities.
DC?
DC is not on the list, so
yeah,
he's down to one left as well.
I have three different cities.
So whoever gives the next wrong answer is the loser.
I don't want to say my three because I don't want Jackson to take one of them.
That's very sensible, so just say one then.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is not on the list.
Are you kidding me?
I will declare Jackson the winner then.
I was about to say Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay is not on the list either. What was your third choice?
Louisville.
That's not on the list
either.
Oh,
come on.
All right, the one I thought would have been fair, for me, I thought would have been obvious, was Miami.
Oh.
I thought that was pretty well known for having a Hispanic population. All right, third was Houston. I thought that was actually number one. I've forgotten
yeah,
you. New York's just so big, obviously. I kind of feel that. San Antonio. Phoenix, Arizona. El Paso. San Diego.
Oh my God.
San Jose. So a lot with Spanish names anyway. San Los Jose, Angeles. San Diego, Los Angeles. Yeah, so there was a few in California. So you had the right idea, JJ. You had the right state. But and Texas as well, obviously. There was, I think I said four, because you said Dallas and I deleted it from my list. All right. I wanted to make sure we mentioned that at the time, but I thought that was kind of interesting to look at that and do a little bit of education at
the
same
time. Can I do another one?
I don't have another
one. Both a different language?
If we find it, it just happened to come up this time. I can't come up with one. Before we talk about match four, Mason, I realized something we didn't talk about in 1-3, but we talked about off air, was actually the crowds. So what did you notice about the crowds for this one?
There was a lot of people.
There was certainly more than I thought that there would have been for this one. And they all seemed to be wearing masks, as far as I can tell. They were socially distanced apart, but there was certainly more than I've seen at some other independent ones. So
yeah.
I'm not sure what the rules are for Illinois for this one. All right, match four was Rey Fuego and Aero Boy. Aero Boy is a championships at AULL tag team, DTU, Alto Impacto. DTU World Extreme, GLC Tag Team, the IWL Trios Championship for 2,560 days, and that's still ongoing. So that's been over 8 years. Now, you don't really see trios very often anyway, so
even if it was
once a year. Like, yeah, but that's just still a tag team, even though there's three of them. This is officially a trios championship, not a tag team championship. So I don't know how often they have to defend that anyway, but even if it was once a year, if you win it 8 years in a row, that's still pretty impressive. The LPF Championship, the Rockstar Pro Intergalactic Championship, I like the sound of that one, and the X-Law Tag Team Champion. Now, I did notice one thing for Aero Boy. Having said that we switched the commentary off because we don't know much Spanish, I can read Spanish actually much better than I can speak Spanish. I saw on his shirt it said, pronunciation is probably horrible, Los Jefes. That means the bosses. And I recognize that. I know Jefe is a boss, so that with it being Los and plural and the S on the end, he had the bosses. So I don't know if that's part of a faction that he's in, but that's my little contribution to the Spanish thing for this one. All right, Jackson, I guess you're first. You said you had something to say for this one. Bring it on. And then we'll let Mason wrap
just
up the
just start
rest.
The match.
Oh, yeah, they did a lot of talking.
Oh, yes. Which is fine, because it gave me a chance to look up them. Yeah, this okay, one, the first half was actually 33 minutes.
Kick
and the last
doodle.
Three matches were 48.
Just
so we had
kick,
a lot of
mask taken off. Nick
mask taken off, definitely, yeah. Aero Boy's mask was taken off. Mask taken off, yeah. And they don't normally do that. That's normally disrespectful for the luchadors. And you said, Mason, they must have asked permission for that. I'm sure they did. Like, he didn't try and cover his face. Like, when Rey Mysterio's had that before, like, you've seen him cover his face up and somebody put, like, a towel there. He carried on wrestling without it. He didn't even put it back on. So I don't think it was such a big deal
That's why when we were interviewing Franco, and he was in Mexico, he was in the locker room, so he turned his camera off because he don't want the masked wrestlers.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. I actually just listened to an interview with Franco this morning, actually. I'm trying to pull up my iPod to see if I can recommend what it was. We know he's going to England again. It's called Smash the Mat, episode 75. And he actually talked, he's going to be working with Marty Jones, which I was really excited by. That's a very old English name who's very well respected. I didn't even know, to be honest, he was still alive. I have no idea how that old person is. I remember him when I was your age.
Oh.
So I don't remember if he was a wrestler at that age, if he was a young wrestler. I have no idea what he's saying. But yeah, that's really cool. I definitely want to talk to Franco about that. That's definitely a name I recognized.
So Aero Boy took off Rey's mask. Rey got an arm lock, but after he got let go, he grabbed the wrong arm, and his other arm was hurting. And Aero Boy did a suicide dive to the wrong person, and Rey capitalized with the suicide dive. And Rey pushes Aero Boy into the ref. Aero Boy's mask got pulled off. Aero Boy won with a suplex.
Now, Jay, in the last section, you had a match that was 6 stars, and you had a match that was 5 stars. So I'm kind of curious, how many stars did you give match 4?
I didn't rate that.
As
but
in,
I rated the next match.
Okay, that's fine. All right. All right, match 5 was a three-way match between...
Okay, I'll start.
Do you want me to tell people who's in the match first?
Yeah.
Gringo Loco, Areth, I think it's pronounced that with the Z sound. And Gino Medina. Now, Gringo Loco I recognized, but I couldn't remember where, so I had to look it up. Correct. I actually also looked up as well. It said on Wikipedia, in Mexico, Gringo Loco may be labeled a public enemy. But in the US, Gringo Loco isn't just a fan favorite luchador, but the base god. So he's actually really popular for that. He took MLW by storm in 2018, winning fans officials over with his versatility, blending lucha libre with brawling. Loco has become one of the more exciting newcomers in MLW in some time. Gino I recognized as well, first of all from VCW where we saw him, but also MLW. Now, it's been back for a month. I hadn't seen him on, so I was wondering, I was like, uh-oh, did he get cut or something? No, he's still listed on the roster there. The last post I could see from him on the MLW website was 3 months ago. The untouchable Gino Medina has not been seen with a Dynasty partying into the wee hours of the night the last few nights. The reason? A new lady in the second generation grappler's life. Who is this special lady? That's the question many are asking, but no one seems to have an answer. If they carried on with that story, I don't remember it. I stopped watching when they were just doing repeat things, so I don't know what's happening. But yeah, he was certainly tweeting last night, or two nights ago, when MLW was on. So yeah, he's still involved with MLW. It still says on Twitter, pro wrestler for at MLW as well. We just haven't seen him. We've only seen Hammerstone, and Richard Halliday so far as part of the Dynasty since they've come back. Jay, do you want to do your part first then? I think yeah. What rating did you give this one?
100
out of 5?
No, I'm not giving it out of 5. I'm giving it whatever amount of stars I went to. And I gave it 100
out of 5. So this is your favorite match.
No, he's just saying however many stars out of unlimited.
Okay, so that doesn't help people.
So the highest rating is the highest, is the best.
So this is the best match you've had so far, then, right? Okay, and I would
100.
I would agree with this one as well. You might have gone a little
20 times better than match 2.
You might have gone a little too high too early on some of the earlier matches. They were good, but for me, yeah, this was certainly the outstanding match of all. I focused on other things, so you could talk about it, Mason. So go on, tell us about this one.
I didn't ride anything because I was just enjoying the match.
Yeah,
bada bing, bada bang.
He has all Danhausen paint. Gringo power bombs Gino, but Gino rolls through and pins Ares. And Ares stands on Gringo's shoulders and superplexes Gino. And Gringo won with a double cutter off of the top rope.
And you're not selling it anywhere near as good as it actually was. But yeah, that superplex was phenomenal. I don't think I've ever seen one just to balance on somebody's shoulders.
I get that in 100.
And that's then to do a superplex from that.
That's why I give this match 100.
Oh, it was amazing. I was loving it. And there was a moment before that that you guys kind of missed. And it was so good that I was like, whoa! And then as I was doing that sound, they then did the same moves in reverse. They worked together really well as a three. They put that together perfectly. And that finisher as well, same thing. I could have done the champ fight forever for this one. I'm assuming that the two MLW guys are used to working with each other. I don't know about that Areth guy. That I couldn't tell. By far this was the best match. And this went on longer, actually, than the main event. And I thought totally deservedly so as well. This was the clear highlight. I'm kind of wondering why. I guess the other guys needed a break. But having already fought earlier, so they couldn't really come on any earlier. But this should have been the main event, I would say. Now, I don't know if you heard me mention that when I said earlier about Gino. He's a second-generation wrestler.
So second I was like, grappler.
I better look up who his dad is then. El Sanguinario was a renowned luchador and member of the iconic Gringos Locos, plural of Gringo Loco. Faction alongside Conan and Eddie Guerrero, amongst others. Born into Mexican nobility, the Sheik Luchador believes he is the essence of greatness, and it's hard to argue with the results when he gets in the ring. So I recognize a bit of Spanish as well. Like Gringo, I know, is like a guy or a person, normally American. Loco is crazy. So it's like crazy American, pretty much. So I started to look that up, and he says, Los Gringos Locos, intended to mean the crazy Americans, were a Lucha Libre stable in AAA. That's the organization in Mexico, if you don't know them. The stable was originally Eddie Guerrero and Art Barr. Los Gringos Locos was intended to be the Mexican version of the Four Horsemen. Because Barr was American and Guerrero was Mexican-American, they were able to draw heat from Mexican crowds as they acted more and more American. The team wore red, white, and blue wrestling attire. There
but
is
when they go to America, then they act Mexican.
I've already found on YouTube, and I watched just the first 3 minutes to check it was a documentary. And there's a 90-minute documentary on Los Gringos Locos, which I definitely want to watch later if you want to see it as well.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay. I don't know if it's going to be appropriate for you, Jay. I'm not sure. I haven't had the chance to tell that. But it's possible there might be a third part to this interview later where we might even talk about what... This is why I said, oh, I'm so glad we picked this. Because I love Eddie Guerrero, but I didn't know that side of it. And I know the wrestler, Gringo Loco, but I didn't know about Los Gringos Locos. So I think that could be really interesting as well. Your ratings, if you think that's a 99.78 star match. That's way too high. All right, I think we're all on Mason then. So go ahead, Mason. Tell us about the match.
So there was three people hurting... Bandolero,
mm-hmm.
And on the outside, Mecha Wolf does two suicide dives. Mecha wins when he threw Ricky up and kicked him midair.
And yeah, we kind of missed the ending because Jay was getting a little distracted at this point and being a little fidgety, so we had to come back and watch the end. But yeah, this main event was only like 11 minutes. Like the first few matches were 10 minutes each. Match 4 and match 5 got a lot longer in them because they were great. And then this kind of just got 10 minutes at the end. I guess if they've already wrestled once, you're not going to have a 30-minute match at the end. But yeah, it was okay. I'm sure at the end it set storylines up for the next one, but just not being familiar with this organization at all, that was kind of lost on us a little bit. But yeah, I would definitely like to see some more of this based on that Gringo Loco RS Gino Medina match. And also that one prior to that, Rey Fuego and Aeroboy. I thought they were good. Actually, I thought the matches in the first half were... I thought the first one wasn't great, but I thought the second and the third match certainly held my focus. All right, anything else for this one?
No. Good job, JJ, for not yelling half when Dead said harp.
That's you. You do that.
No, that's Jackson.
Do the opposite. You always do. If anyone says... Yes, if I say half, you always go harp. All right. Oh, Jay, you're going to do the finish for us?
Boom!
Sure.
I mean, even louder. Boom!
And that'll just take somebody's ears off at the end. I'm sure they'll appreciate that.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye!
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/